wonderful songs today. I was so excited about the service, and I'm so glad you're here today, and I'm glad to be back in church. Been 3 weeks ago today I was here. That's crazy. Or at least on a Sunday. I was here Wednesday night. But thank y'all for praying for us, and we are better, and I appreciate it so much. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15 today. Romans chapter 15. I got two notes I want to read as everybody's getting settled. This is from Becky and Freddie Ballard. Raise your hand. Look at them overalls. Don't you love Freddie? I love Freddie. And I love Becky too. They sent a sweet note. We'd like to thank the Gospel Light Church family for all the prayers, cards, calls, and texts while Freddie was in the hospital. So glad he was able to be back last week and back today. And Freddie, we're still praying for you, brother. And let's pray he's still got some heart issues he's dealing with. And let's pray for him. And this is from Pastor Earl. Thank you for your thoughtfulness, concern, and prayers for Brenda and me, especially for her during her surgery. She's doing well, mending every day. Be sure to thank our church family for all they have done for us. We are blessed to have such good people to serve with. We're praying for a great service today and a good chest of Joash next week. Love you guys, Pastor Earl. Thank you, brother. It's great to have him here today. And I hope you are praying for Miss Brenda as she's over at home recovering. And let's pray that she'll have a smooth journey. Romans 15, verse 7. I want you. Yes. Yes. Well, I appreciate that. I walked in just the right time. That's the Lord. Thank you, Miss Becky. What a privilege to be your pastor. Thank you so much. Well, I want you to think back to a time in your life when you felt out of place and unwelcome. Can you pause just for a minute and think about that? Maybe think of the scenario where you were, what was going on in your life. You walked in, you felt out of place, you felt unwelcome. Now I want you to think back to a time when someone went out of their way to make you feel welcome. Pause there for a second. And then say hallelujah, amen. That in that instance where you needed someone, they were there for you. They made you feel welcome. Well, a few weeks ago I mentioned in a message back in January that we all have a need for acceptance and how it helps us find our identity. It really, if we feel accepted, it brings security in our life. Everyone just wants to feel accepted even with our flaws. I got flaws, you got flaws, we all got flaws. Amen? But we just want to feel accepted even with that. Hey, I tell you, God accepts us. Amen? We are accepted in the Beloved through the precious blood of Jesus that Lydia just sang about. And we are declared righteous through the blood of Jesus. So God accepts us. We ought to accept one another. And that's our message today. On a cold, windy morning in Chicago, with the wind chill factor well below zero, an orphan boy, Ralph, walked 4 miles to church. His friend Ralph greeted him as he came through the door. Hey, glad to see you, Ralph. Sure is cold out there today. And Ralph said, yep, I sure did get cold walking this morning. And surprised, the older man said, you mean you walked to church this morning? And Ralph said, yeah, I didn't have enough money to pay the bus fare. Well, how far did you walk, Ralph? The man asked. 4 miles. And then he asked this question, how many churches did you pass in that 4 mile stretch to get to ours? He said, Mr. Kennedy, I passed 22 churches. He said, Ralph, why did you pass all those other churches and come to our church this morning? Ralph smiled and said, because I discovered that here, they love a fella like me. Aren't you glad here we love people like they are and we accept them? Man, that ought to be a strength of our church, and I believe it really is. But this story made me think those who come to Gospel Light farther than 15 miles away. I had a little fun in my study this week. I got my little GPS out. By the way, you older ones, you have a GPS on your smartphone. I just want to give you an instance. Y'all complain you can't find things, and you got a map right on your phone. Can I hear an amen, all right? I got some honorable mentions. Are you ready? Myron and Jan Shiflett. There they are right there. 15 miles away. Now, buddy, you have to go through some curves, and it's crazy. They live up in that Fincastle, Troutville area. 15 miles. How about Brian and Tanya Thompson? Are they here today? They also come 15 miles from Salem Way. How about Kathy Hammond? Kathy, are you here today? There you go. 16 miles from Buchanan. Linda Linkus. Where are you at, Linda? I saw you. 17 miles. She also comes from Salem Way. All right. Betty Welch. 19 miles. Raise your hand, Betty. She's also in Buchanan. Y'all ever been to Betty's house? It's an adventure. No, it's great. I love it. Well, in fourth place, now those are all honorable mentions, but we've got some that come even farther. In fourth place is Tammy Light's daughter and son-in-law that have been coming, Kayla and Brad. They've been coming 25 miles from Manita. All right? Then in third place, where's James? Is he doing security? Children's Church. James and Amy and Emily and all the kids, they come 26 miles from Goodview, Bedford County. Manita's in Bedford County. All right, second place, Bob and Vicki Graham. Are they not here today? Man, I wanted to embarrass some people. All right, they're not here either. No, I wasn't going to embarrass them. 31 miles. They come from a little community. It's still in Botetourt County, believe me. It's called Oriskany. Anybody been to Oriskany? You have to go over a mountain and down a mountain to find them, but still in Botetourt, 31 miles away. But in first place, where's Dana? Dana, look at you. She traveled 34 miles this morning from Copper Hill over in Floyd County. Now, does anybody travel farther than that? Raise your hand. Anybody? Oh, my goodness. Pastor Earl's got his hand. I love it. For you that don't know, he lives behind the church, okay? All right. But you know what? Can you imagine all the churches that all those folks pass that I just mentioned? I mean, Dana this morning, 34 miles, Floyd County. Can you imagine how many churches she... Now, she does want to move here closer, right, Dana? She wants to live in Roanoke. She's got a job here. Pray that she'll find a place. But I thought of all the churches they passed. What is drawing them here? All those folks. I believe young and old, listen, rich and poor, male or female, they're going to walk, they're going to run, they're going to drive to a community where they find love and acceptance. And God's word, that's right, brother. You know, I think that kind of community is an oasis in a world that puts people down all the time. Would y'all agree? We live in a world that loves to put people down left and right, all around us. They're so quick to point out someone else's failures. They may not be overly cruel, but they make those around them feel stupid or inferior. Maybe you've had experiences as a child, as a teen, as a young adult, or even more recently. It can happen at any age where you feel humiliated. You feel minimized. You feel shamed by someone else. Well, it shouldn't be that way in the church of the living God. Amen? It's horrible to feel like you're on the outside. The pain can really be excruciating. It made me think of the story of the Samaritan woman who Jesus encountered on his way from Judea to Galilee. The best straight shot from Judea to Galilee was through Samaria. And while making the trip, Jesus came to Sychar, the little Samaritan town. He stopped at a spot that would have been listed on Google as a place to see. It was at Jacob's Well. And a lot of Jewish memories attached to that place, dating back to all the way to the Old Testament. Of course, Jacob and Joseph. Well, Jesus arrived when the heat was at its greatest. He's tired from the journey. He has sent his disciples away into town to purchase some food. Now, usually no one came to get water in the middle of the day. Too hot. But sure enough, as Jesus is sitting there by Jacob's well, a woman arrives with a heavy jar or pitcher on her shoulder. Jesus had only to look at her to know her story. Only outcasts came at this hour. The respectable women came in the evening when it's cooler. These evening gatherings at the well were sort of a social club. Women in the village came to exchange small talk. Talk about what's going on in the village, the news and the gossip. Why are y'all laughing, okay? The women came at the woman that came at noon wanted to sidestep all that interaction with the other women because she was embarrassed of being ostracized. Because she was the talk of a lot of that gossip that was going on. Well, what was her sin? Let me just put it gently, loose living. She had been married 5 times. Now she's living with another man, and she was not married to him. Jesus surprised her when he asked her for a drink. After all, Jews did not share things in common with the Samaritans. They didn't have anything to do with one another. But Jesus spoke to her, and they had quite an interesting conversation. Many of you know this story. I'm just giving it in a nutshell. They talked about all sorts of things, worship. They talked about Jews and Samaritans. They talked about holy places. They talked about her past. They talked about her present. Jesus pointed out to her who he was, what he had to offer, and how she could receive it. So here is the eternal God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, speaking to her, offering her eternal life. And guess what, y'all? She received it. Just like you did, amen, when you got saved. And when she left, she was a different person. Instead of avoiding people, she went straight into town to tell her neighbors about the man who knew everything about her, and just as they knew everything about her. But the difference was he loved and accepted her nonetheless, even with all her flaws, even with her sin. Now, something amazing happened that day at the well. First of all, she heard the truth. Like Brother Myron said, you come to church to hear the truth. But also, I think her eyes begin to sparkle again. I think her self-esteem rose up. She left Jesus with renewed hope because someone took an interest in her. Someone loved and accepted her for who she was. And in turn, her faith affected that entire community for Jesus. Man, you got to read the story. She influenced many of them to come to Christ. And then there's others that come and meet Jesus at the well. He stays there 2 days. And many come to salvation. By the way, she did not go back to her sin. Amen? She was changed. And that's what happens when we truly get born again. What a wonderful story. Now, following in those footsteps, Paul invites us to also participate in the ministry of acceptance. Look at Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore, receive, another word for accept, ye one another, as Christ also received or accepted us to the glory of God. So what does that mean? So that God's going to get the glory in our lives. That's why we accept one another. So we accept one another on the basis that Jesus accepted us, and we do it for the glory of God, not for our own glory. Now turn back one page. It's one page in my Bible. Romans 14, verse 1. Let's read this small passage here, just four verses. Him that is weak in the faith, receive, in other words, for accept ye, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Okay, he believes it's all right to eat anything. How many are in that camp? I'd say amen, hearty, amen, right? Another who is weak or has a sensitive conscience, listen, eateth herbs. Okay, so he only eats vegetables. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him. Don't look down on him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Okay, so don't condemn him either. For God hath received him. In other words, God's accepted both. If you're a meat eater this morning, God's accepted you. If you're a vegetarian, God's accepted you. All right? That's what this passage is saying. Verse 4. Who art thou? In other words, who are you that judges or condemns another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. In other words, their own master is going to judge whether they stand or fall. You know who you got to stand before one day, and that's the only one you have to be concerned about? That's Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he's going to be the judge. Let's read the rest of the verse. Yea, he shall be holding up with the Lord's help, for God is able to make him stand. God is able, in the Greek, in order to make them stand and receive his approval. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, wouldn't you like to receive his approval? And so that's what this passage is about. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Not everybody does it the same way. Have you realized that yet? We're not clones. We're not robots. Now, to grasp the significance of this, we need to know what's going on here in Romans 14. We need to understand that the church in Rome divided itself into two camps. Those who ate meat and those who did not. The meat eaters lived by the advice of Paul to the church of Corinth. Paul basically told the church of Corinth, food will not bring us closer to God. We are not worse off if we do not eat, and we're no better if we do eat. That was basically what he's telling them in a nutshell. So the meat eaters, now they were apparently the larger of the two groups. They saw themselves as more mature in the faith than the vegetarians because they were not tied to the past. We're no longer living under the law, we're living under grace. But the vegetarians, they were most likely Jewish Christians who were concerned about the proper handling of slaughtered meat. If it was not kosher, boy, they refused to eat it. And also they could have been very conscientious Gentiles, other Christians in that area. They were concerned about the meat that was offered to idols and then was later sold to the local butcher. Boy, they didn't want to eat that meat. Well, regardless of their reasons, here's the bottom line. The meat eaters saw the vegetarians as weak and avoided contact with them. It was such a divisive issue that they actually despised one another. You know, we have issues today with many gray areas. They're not clearly defined in Scripture, and they're not clearly right or wrong to every believer. So here's what Paul suggested for us to do. It's a new way of relating to one another. Accept those who you consider to be weak in the faith. In other words, relationships are more important than always being right. Can we say that together? Ready? Relationships are always more important than always being right. We're not going to agree on everything. Even my wife and me, we don't agree on everything. All right? We can agree. Listen, here's great news. Ready? We can agree on non-essentials and still have unity in our church. But we got to accept one another. Hey, when we accept those who are different than we are, when we accept those who think a little different than us, we are demonstrating God's transforming power and how He's working in us, and we're bringing glory and honor to God. That's the last part of verse 7 in chapter 15. Don't just endure people. Encourage them. We come from all walks of life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, go ahead and tell them, you're so different. Maybe that will just set the stage, okay? We are. We are so different. And we come up with different backgrounds, born into unique family situations. And then we all come together and we expect, woohoo, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Not if there's not acceptance and love. Now you say, preacher, how in the world do we do that? How do we battle the tendency to judge rather than to accept? Isn't it so easy to judge somebody? I mean, that normally that's our first reaction. How do we fight the desire to turn away rather than welcome? How do we become accepting people? I got 4 points today. Take some notes now if you're writing these down. Here are 4 accepting practices that I think can be a great help to us. Number one, fight first impressions. Say that with me. Ready? Fight first impressions. You know, first impressions many times rob us of getting to know some terrific people. I got an illustration. When I arrived here 7.5 years ago, I had a very wrong first impression of somebody. I'm going to go ahead and name him because he won't mind. William Sparrow. Now, it's not because of the color of his skin. I promise you that. I love him. No, it was this. He asked a lot of questions. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you that in a minute. He would ask so many questions. You know what? Here I am, the new pastor. I'm thinking, William, don't trust me. Man, I had a wrong first impression because after 7.5 years, woo, glory, they're still here. Amen. Now, here's what I thought. Well, over the years, that boy's sharp as a tack. Smart, intelligent. He loves the Lord and he loves this church family. That's what I grew to love about him. And the reason he asked so many questions is because he is always looking out for the best interest of Gospel Light Baptist Church. Woo! See, I didn't know that at the beginning. But after I've spent time with him, and boy, now I can say he is a tremendous help and blessing to me, I've grown to appreciate William Sparrow. And we're closer now than we ever have been before. Do you know God's able to do that? I'm glad I fought through that first impression. And you got to do the same. As we get to know each other, we'll be very surprised. The person that you think is so quiet may have more to say than you've ever imagined. You ever met somebody like that? When you first met him, you didn't think they could say a word. But then as you get to know them, you can't shut them up. Amen? The one who appears to be gruff may have the biggest heart. Oh, Jim Wisman, can I pick on you, brother? When he sits in church and watches me preach, he's got the gruffest look on his face. He don't look like he's enjoying church at all. But if you want to have a good time, get around Jim. All right? Because that first impression is not right. He loves to cut up. He's a jokester. But buddy, you wouldn't see it looking at him in church. Hey, the one you perceive as Mr. Rigid turns out to be real flexible and real fun. You just never know. And then I got the flip side. Are you ready? The ones that butter you up at the beginning, and buddy, you think they are super sweet and supportive, end up leaving you in the dust. So really it goes both ways. We can have an awesome first impression of somebody, and then before we know it, they're gone out of our lives. I tell you what, we got to fight first impression. Number two, love don't label. People are interesting to observe. Wouldn't you agree? Many times we put people in various categories. We judge people's character and decide in our own mind if they're good people or bad people. Really, before we ever get to know them. Mentally, I can easily condemn some people and praise others. I can dislike some and like others. Can I remind you of the good old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. So many times I've misjudged people. And I tell you, I get misjudged a lot. You ready for this? When I meet someone for the first time, as soon as they ask me what I do for a living, and I'm honest with them, and I say, well, I am a pastor. I don't say it like that. Then I would be in trouble. No, I just say, hey, I'm a pastor of a church. Uh-oh. Immediately, the tone of the conversation normally changes. Now listen, they may have a label for a pastor that is uptight, no fun, judgmental, know-it-all, who just tells people how terrible they are. That may be their paradigm. And when they hear the word pastor, that immediately is what pops in their head. So people attach the pastor label to me, and they put me in a box. They just assume I'm like all the other pastors that they've come across in their life, or that they've seen on TV. Oh my word. Be careful of those, all right? Then they find something to read or put their headphones on so they don't have to talk to the pastor, the religious fanatic that they're sitting next to. You know, we so quickly hang labels on people. I'm just going to have some fun. Are you ready? If they're unemployed, we automatically think that person's lazy. If they're an accountant, I'm working with an accountant now at Neely's. She's helping us out. We automatically assume an accountant is boring. If they play football, you've heard this one before, they got no brains. That's all they know, how to play football. If they're a Republican, they don't care for the poor. Oh my goodness, how many times have you heard that? If they're a Democrat, they are financially irresponsible. Many are, but that you can't just stick a label on people. How about this one? If they're from Newport, Tennessee, they're a hick. Now, I can say that because I used to live there, okay? But a lot of times we just hang a label so quickly on somebody. What labels have you placed on someone right here in our church? Oh, he's just an attention giver or getter. She's an airhead. You ever heard that one? He's a loser. She's a prude. He's a nerd. I tell you what, let's remove those preconceived labels, and church is a great way, a great place to start. Love, don't label. Fight first impressions. Number three, let Scripture be the standard. When it comes to clear-cut commands in Scripture, we should not budge. Are you with me? When it comes to Bible-based doctrine, we need to agree. That's why there's so many churches out there, because they can't agree. But hey, we need to agree on the essentials. Clear-cut Scripture, Bible-based doctrine. It is never okay to live with your boyfriend or girlfriend if you're not married. It's getting quiet in the Baptist church. You can justify it all you want, but it's clear-cut. It's in the Bible. And if you're doing it, stop. God will get your attention somehow. How about the virgin birth? How about the deity of Jesus? How about salvation by grace alone? We ain't budging because they're crystal clear. But there are so many other things that are not clearly defined in Scripture. You're not going to find it. And remember, we live under liberty and grace. And each one of us needs to be fully persuaded in our own mind that what we are doing is pleasing to God. Paul says that later in Romans 14. Be fully persuaded in your own mind. Because we're all different. And we may read something or we may have a different opinion. But hey, we're all seeking to please Jesus. We're going to stand before Him one day. And we need to give some grace to those who don't do it exactly the way we do it. Is our job to condemn them? That's not what the Word says. No, keep on loving them. Keep on accepting them. Because each person we meet has value. They were created in God's image. And they are a beloved child of God. We need to see them through Jesus' eyes. So that's why we need to welcome. We need to receive. We need to accept them all equally. Now listen, the Bible helps correct our vision of others. Amen? The Bible's going to help you correct your vision of others. It also helps to correct our own beliefs, our own practices. It is the standard. It is our guide. So I'm going to encourage you, like I told the folks Wednesday night, get your face in the book every day. Because you'll live a life more pleasing to God as you walk with Him. And He will tell you what's right and not right in those gray areas. And you'll live a life pleasing to Him. All right, that's number three. Number four, make mercy your message. Many times, we are cold, we're judgmental towards someone, and we could be a little more gracious and merciful. Right here, even at Gospel Light, okay? We've had, on occasion, somebody will come by the church and they'll ask for help. They'll just come off the road. They'll see a church here and they say, well, I'll stop by and get some help. They knock on the door. Maybe I'm here by myself and I meet them at the door. They tell me their need. Now, y'all, let me just let you in on a secret. Through 34 years of ministry, I have been conned so many times. I have been burnt so many times with people that will give a sob story, and then you see them eating at Red Lobster the next time you see them. Amen? And I'm just saying it doesn't measure up, all right? So with all that in mind, I can tend to become a little skeptical in helping people. I could just turn them off, send them away. But you know what I do now? If I'm by myself, the doors are locked. They've just knocked on the door, and I shut the door and say, just give me 1 second. Let me check on something. And I go into my office, and you know what I do? I say, Lord, please tell me how to help these people. I don't know how to help. I don't know if they're real, if it's genuine. Or if they're fake, they're conning me, whatever. And I'm responsible for the way we help others. So, man, I beg God for help. Now, if somebody comes to a service and they're looking for help, a lot of times I'll go to one of our men. I've already talked to them, but then I'll say, hey, Brian or somebody, hey, can you talk to these folks? Can you see what's going on in their life? See, I value the guidance of my Heavenly Father. But I also value the guidance of wise counsel. And most of the time we end up doing something to help them in just a small way, but we show mercy. Now, I don't want you to only apply this to strangers. We need to apply mercy to those that we rub shoulders with every week. If someone doesn't feel like they fit in, would y'all agree with this? They will begin to feel like an outcast, and we'll no longer see them at our church. They'll eventually leave. Sometimes God allows that to happen, and He's at work, okay? Because this church is not for everyone. And God's in that sometimes, but other times it's because we've dropped the ball and we have not shown mercy. Hey, the church is a great place to learn to practice mercy. Do you know a lot of times we get so caught up with others in criticizing someone before we even realize what we're doing? You know what I'm praying, and I hope you'll join me in this prayer. Lord, please help me stop doing that. And help me surely not to instigate it. Don't criticize. Accept. Encourage. Lift up. You know, Jesus is going to help us see people for who they really are. He's going to help us accept them in their weaknesses. And He's going to help others to accept you in your weaknesses, your frailties. I love what someone once said. Turn up your miracle ears. Are you listening? This is awesome. Jesus loves you, and I'm working on it. I love that. Jesus loves you, and I'm working on it. I'm trying my best with God's help. By the way, you've got the big dynamite inside of you, the Spirit of God, that can help you love and accept people. You can't do it in your own strength. Because your own strength in your flesh, you're going to criticize, you're going to put down, you're going to condemn, especially when they're a little different, especially when their thinking's a little different. But I tell you, with God's help, we can do it. You know, Jesus accepted us when we were weak, sinful, enemies, ungodly. Surely, we can accept others. In spite of our differences, in spite of our disagreements, through the Spirit's power. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let me ask you one question. This is the invitation today. And ask the Lord to speak to your heart right now. Ready? Who in your circle of family, friends, neighbors, or work associates needs to hear a word of acceptance rather than judgment or condemnation from you? I'll repeat it one more time. Who in your circle, maybe it's family, friend, neighbor, work associate, and they need to hear a word of acceptance from you rather than judgment or condemnation? I want to encourage you, let's accept one another. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, such a convicting message. And how Romans 15:7 is so simple. Accept one another. Why? Because you accepted us. Why? Because it brings you glory. Help us to walk out of those doors today with that ringing in our ears to accept one another. Lord, it's going to take the Spirit's power in our lives. It's going to take the Word of God being our standard. And Lord, help us to live in such a way that we're being led by you every step of the way. We are fully persuaded in our own mind about what we believe, what we practice. And we are living a life that is honoring to you. Because one day we're going to stand before you and we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, help us to be accepting of others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.